Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
Roger Bootle in the London studio. Very good morning to you. Thank you so much for being with us. Chairman of Capital Economics in his long career, of course. He's been Group Chief Economist at HSBC, spent 20 years advising the Commons Treasury Committee, and so on and so on. We know you have such a long CV, so we're very pleased to have you with us. The economic backdrop in Britain, Roger, is really turning increasingly sour. Do you see any bright spots?
Not really, no. And I think, trying to be hopeful, what we can say, I think, is that we won't go on having these massive increases in energy prices and other prices forever. I can see inflation peaking relatively soon. I think the really difficult time for the authorities and perhaps the markets as well is when we've got past the peak, inflation's falling, but we've still got the danger that wage increases are going to reflect the high inflation and the economy's weakening. How are the authorities going to react then? It's a very, very tough time.
So you're painting a picture of stagflation, essentially, in the UK.
Well, I think that word's overused.
Is it? Okay.
But yes, I think there's going to be a period, or a real danger anyway, that we could suffer serious weakness of economic activity and maybe what you want to call a recession, with unemployment rising and still inflation being relatively high. Not at 11%, we'll come down from there. But what happens if we get stuck at 4, 5 or 6%? That, I think, is a real
problem.
And
yet the labour market remains robust on many measures in the UK. A million jobs that remain unfulfilled. You're just seeing that on the travel sector, just alone, the pressure's there.
Yes. I think that the labour market is in a terrible position for the authorities at the moment. As you say, the jobs vacancies unfilled. The market is very, very tight, as it is in many countries. But if the economy takes a nosedive, and that's got to be the risk, I think that position will change.
Okay, let's pull this apart then. I mean, there are many challenges in that sense for government, you know, and this is kind of pivotal. It's their pivotal function now. What should the Chancellor be doing on energy costs? I was speaking to the British Chambers of Commerce just a couple of hours ago. They have Rishi Sunak with them this morning speaking at their event. I mean, they're talking about wanting VAT on energy to be slashed down to 5% for an indefinite period, for as long as it lasts. That would be very expensive. Is Sunak going to do that?
Well, I don't know what he's going to do. I do know what I would do, which is I wouldn't agree to such a measure. Now, there is, of course, terrific pain in the economy from energy consumers, energy users, both corporate and individual. But I don't think the right way to react to that is to give energy special treatment. There is a case for lowering energy prices for domestic users. There's a case for that. The government's done something in that direction already. But in general, I don't think this is the way forward, especially not when you're trying to economise on energy usage. I think the government has made a big mistake in increasing taxes, in driving up national insurance contributions. Mm-hmm. It should be doing everything it can, I think, to keep the overall tax burden low.
Okay, so the need to cut taxes and reduce the tax burden. How much confidence do you have in the Bank of England and Andrew Bailey at this point?
I think the first thing to say is this has got to be about the most difficult position facing a governor and the MPC, well, since the MPC was formed, I suspect. I'm going to say something more critical than that, but let's bear that in mind. I think that the bank was slow to recognise the seriousness of the inflation danger. I think it was too complacent. I think it should have acted on interest rates much sooner and more boldly. And in many ways, now I really am going to sound like a relic of the past, I don't think the members of the committee had enough awareness of what happened in the 1970s. Lots of people were saying, look, this is a supply-side rise in inflation. Of course, they write about that, driven by increased oil prices, gas prices, food prices, and so on. And they say, there's nothing we can do about that. That's absolutely right, but there is something you can do about the inflationary response to those supply-side-driven cost increases. And how you react will impact the behaviour of inflation. We'd learnt that in the 1970s. It was the same huge increase in oil prices that was experienced twice, by the way, in that decade, across the world. But in different countries, they reacted to it differently, and the inflation response was different.
Yeah, and so is this group thing. I mean, we had a kind of group mea culpa, effectively, or some steps along that way, the admissions by the various central bank governors yesterday in Portugal, that they got that wrong. So, I mean, what we're all just suffering from, groupthink.
Yes, this isn't just a British thing. It's, as you're rightly implying, I think it's international. And in a way, it's not surprising, is it? I mean, if you've had a long period of very low inflation, which we have had, it's easy to imagine that that's bound to be the case going forward. And it's comfortable, more comfortable to believe that. I think, for instance, on the MPC, there should have been some sort of outside maverick voice. There is a sense in which I think the people selected for that committee, well, they all come from the same stable.
When it comes to the Brexit effect, you talked earlier about not seeing any bright spots for the UK economy. Now we have the Northern Ireland Protocol, of course, the piece of legislation that is working its way through Parliament, and the EU chief Brexit negotiator telling us that he wants the UK to take the gun off the table when it comes to this issue. At a time of acute concern about the UK economy, as you've outlined for us, what are the risks that this adds further pain? Are we heading potentially for a trade war, or is that sounding a little hyperbolic to you?
I guess there's got to be a risk of that. I don't think myself it's a very serious risk. I don't think the EU would want to go down that route. It would be disproportionate, frankly, to whatever action the UK government takes. It doesn't help, does it? I think the increased uncertainty, the worry, doesn't help. What business in this country needs is confidence and belief in the future.
Well, Mel Stride, who was speaking to a couple of weeks ago, Treasury Committee Chair, was talking about that sort of very issue. The UK must focus on long-term economic goals, and that is fundamentally what is missing. I mean, there's a lot about that has been pretty absent, that there's this kind of incessant focus on daily politics, not enough on the kind of longer term. He also mentioned the plunge in sterling being a big worry. What can government do about that?
Well, there are many points in all that. I don't think the government's covered itself in glory in its management of the economy, and it's been admittedly battered by all sorts of things, by COVID, more recently, of course, by the Ukraine war, and then by the internal stuff, Partygate, etc. What we need is a long-term vision and the determination to execute that vision. I don't see that we're likely to get that anytime soon. With regard to the pound, I think people can get a bit extreme about this. Yes, the pound has been weakening, and of course the fall is much greater against the dollar, a strong dollar, than it's been against the euro. I'm not particularly worried about that. I think we need, frankly, a competitive pound in this country. That's not to say that we want the pound to fall a lot further. And there is a danger, I hope now averted by somewhat more hawkish noises from the Bank of England, a danger that if the Bank of England did not follow other countries in pushing interest rates up a long way, then the pound could suffer a lot, and that would then increase inflationary pressures.
OK, so the need for the BOE to address that on the back of the weakness around sterling and those inflationary pressures. As we look at, there are clear commonalities between the pressures that we're seeing in the UK and other jurisdictions, other nations around the world. But then there are the idiosyncratic issues as well, some of those linked to Brexit. How much of the UK do you think is an outlier at this point?
I don't think it's a serious outlier. Its inflation rate is going to be, I think, probably more difficult, more persistent than it will be in some other countries. I think we've got a particular problem in the labour market, which is worse than some countries. We've now got, of course, a bout of union militancy, which could prove to be extremely dangerous and damaging. We've got these tax rises, which I don't think are helping. But the overall picture, we shouldn't get this out of perspective, the overall picture is that just about all countries are suffering from the same phenomenon. The UK is a bit quirky in some respects, but essentially we're the same.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.